Ephesians 5. If you're there already, read those two verses for me, somebody. 15 and 16.
Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil.
Alrighty, good. Alright, so last week we talked about when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, judgment. So that was one of the things we discussed last week. So here in verse 15 and 16 of Ephesians, what does this include? This idea of, how you walk, being wise, making the best use of your time. The Authorized Version talks about It speaks of walking circumspectly, redeeming the time. So the ESV has making the best use of the time and, being careful how you walk. How would you explain this, or what's your takeaway from these verses in regards to the Holy Spirit? Give you a minute to think.
I think we live in in one sense, there's nothing new under the sun. We live in very unique and distinct times in which we can really engage in meaningless time-wasting pursuits that may, in and of themselves, not necessarily be sin on the face of it, but if we give ourselves over those things, they can become idols, they can become gods. We're still in a very distracted age.
Yeah.
Where we can get on the internet or surf social media and we look up, and now we're just wasting the entire day. So I think that, for me, that's kind of in the here and now where we are, that's kind of what comes up for me.
Okay. All right.
I would agree. I think that every age of people has had to go through things before Christ and after. And, this time that we're dealing with is so pervasive that you don't even know what the truth is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the news, watch the news, read the paper online or whatever it is, with AI, it's just going to be even worse.
Yep.
And so people that have been discerning may no longer be discerning. People that are not discerning don't even know what that means, and so they don't even know how to find the truth and where to go for the truth. And without the Holy Spirit, it's really impossible to be able to discern anything from right from wrong. And so, I think this is the important aspect of staying in the Word and knowing the Holy Spirit to help you guide you through these things.
Okay.
And guide you to the Lord.
Yeah. I heard, just a second, Chris, I read that, is it California just passed a law that, it's a crime to use any actor's image in an AI
advertisement
or, steal the image of an actor or whatever and, even if it's maybe not even an advertisement, but, create something false about them with it. We live in we live in an age where you can't believe everything you see. because of all the technology that's come out. Chris.
Well, I get in the habit, the routine of doing the same thing, so I try not to let my time go to waste, but sometimes I let things slip in, and then I become complacent with the fact that I'm just allowing little things to change how I'm doing things daily instead of doing the things I probably ought to be doing.
Okay.
And that's probably one of the things that if we're not open to the Holy Spirit leading us, then we just do things on our own power, and it affects how we live every day.
Yeah. All right, good. Yep, Troy.
I was saying is that, further down where it says verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So to me, it's just about what we consume. So if we're busy consuming all this other garbage, it's not not the word, not the will, then we're going to be, it's going to consume us. So our time should be more towards consuming what we should be consuming. So.
Yeah, good. All right.
I mean, being stuck at home with these ankles in front of the television. It's a wasteland. It is a wasteland. There was nothing to watch. I tape old movies. That was a bit of a respite. But there is nearly nothing on television. Just a wasteland. And representative of the larger wasteland that is also out there on social media.
Yeah. Did anybody see the Surgeon General's latest, is it a warning or post? I don't know, it's not a post. Warning about, and I don't remember how it's exactly worded, but a warning of parents that are so overstressed because of all that the children, the perceived need of what their children, what they need to provide for their children, I think, in that regards, you know, because we live, you know, and I guess the thought behind it was, you know, so many parents feel like, you know, their children have to be, you know, involved in travel teams and work their way up, you know, in sports, even if they're not really going to pursue that in college or professional, but just the stigma of, you know, my child has to be in sports and we have to try to make them the best they can, you know, the academics, so, you know, so they have to have tutors and extra help because we want them to achieve and we want them to get higher test scores so they can get in a better university, you know, so they're dumping all this money into sports and curricular or and activities and trying to, you know, just the pressures that they feel. And you know, the Surgeon General issued a warning about, you know, the added stress that are on parents because of all they're trying to accomplish for their children. And then, you know, all the social media that comes along with that and the pressures of that. Clint.
Well, just dovetail off that, and then kind of what I was saying earlier is, you know, again, there's nothing new under the sun. If you go back to ancient Rome, it was bread and circuses, right?
Yeah.
To keep the crowds sort of in this malaise, you know, not really caring about what was going on. I think that can happen to us spiritually, where again, you look at, we have all these things that entertain us, and yet, you know, there's so much hopelessness, so much despair, so much depression. Those things can't fill you up, you know, and we're kind of like being distracted, bread and circuses, you know, just trying to keep people in sort of a spiritual funk, you know,
yeah.
Not really engaging in real, truly meaningful things in life, so.
Yeah. All right, so when Paul uses this, when he says, you know, look how you walk or walk circumspectly, what is the walk? What does he mean by that? All right, yeah, it's our daily lives, how we live life on a daily basis. So it kind of comes back to what Chris mentioned. Just, you know, do we have some routine that we go through each day? And I know it might fluctuate a little here and there, but, you know, do we have habits in place that we, you know, are having devotions every day? You know, that we are spending time in prayer every day, that we're making the you know, that we have the habit of coming to church every week, you know, making things habits. So it's not like every day you wake up, you know, should I have my devotions today? I don't really feel like it, so I guess I won't. You know, Sunday morning, you wake up, do I feel like going to church today? No, I'm tired. I didn't sleep good. I'm just going to sleep in and, you know, I'll be okay. You know, we've got to get past that to where the way that we live our lives daily is pleasing to God. And we form those habits, you know, and they're non-negotiables in our hearts. I might have a headache, you know, and again, I'm not talking about like a migraine where, you know, you're laid up in bed over it, but, you know, I have a headache, you know, I have, my stomach's not feeling that great, but, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't have flu, you know, I'm just going to go to church anyway. You know, I'm not contagious. I just, maybe I don't feel too swift, but I'm still going to go because I want to be around brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to hear the word. And that desire pushes us to go and to do what we know we should do. All right, so then we have the wisdom, wise. All right, what does Scripture tell us wisdom is? Or where do we get wisdom?
It's basically the knowledge of good and evil and how you implement that according to God's word.
All right, yes. So it's, you know, we have to have the knowledge of good and evil. And you know, and then practice that. We put that into effect in our daily lives. You know, that, you know, look carefully how you walk, look carefully how you're living your life, you know, and he says, not as unwise, but as wise. So you know the difference in good and evil. So dear, in your daily living, you're striving to do what's right. You're striving to do the good things and abstaining from the evil things. Were you going
to
say something else, Troy?
I was going to say an observation I just made was it's kind of hard to stomp on the head of the serpent if I'm not walking right.
Right, yeah.
So, and we're all walking the right way.
Yes. And serpent in that is Satan and evil.
Right.
You know, then he says, making the best use of time. Or, you know, I do like the King James, they're redeeming the time. You know, because we only have so much time. And, it, you know, we all have 24 hours in a day. you know, nobody gets more, nobody gets less. So how are you using that time each day? You know, and when I think of redeeming the time, I think of Christ, and I think of how he's redeemed me and the redemption there. And, you know, the progression of redemption. You know, yes, you know, I am redeemed, but it's not fulfilled yet. Not all of it. You know, but I look forward to the day when my redemption will be complete in Christ. And I will be, you know, we will live with him in a new heaven, a new earth, in the eternal kingdom, in all of that. But, you know, the idea of redeeming the time is just, you know, I'm going to make the best use of my time. You know, I think many of you have probably heard me say, you know, there's always the good, better, and best, how you use your time. Troy.
I would also argue that this is kind of in sync with taking dominion as well. I'm trying to make roads straight. So you're redeeming what's around you.
Right, yes. Right, so, you know, how you use your time to influence others, and, you know, are you using your opportunities wisely when you have interaction with other people? You know, are you talking with them about their spiritual walk, or is it just, you know, hey, you know, let's talk about sports and football and, you know, your fantasy team, and okay, well, great, you know, that was wonderful, and then you move on. Or are you actually, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with spending a few minutes talking about stuff like that, but, you know, those, you know, fantasy football, it's not even real. I mean, at least talk about a real game, you know, kind of idea. And real, you know, stuff that really happened. But, you know, let's go beyond that, because that's all that, you know, when the season's over, you know, who remembers who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago? Anybody? All right, Luke won. All right. Anybody want to fact check that? Because you can't believe everything you hear. But, you know, those things don't, very few of those things last. You know, we don't remember stuff like that. But you're going to remember, you know, a friendship. You're going to remember somebody that you bonded with, someone that you, you know, shared your heart with, and that, you know, you spent time praying for things that were of concerns to them, and that you were able to invest in their lives. You know, and the, you know, that's the best use of your time, investing it in other people, investing it in things that are going to last for eternity. Dennis.
I know something that helps me is, I try to make a habit of writing down my plans each day. If I get away from that habit, I'm lost.
Okay.
But if I have it in writing and I look at it every morning, it kind of keeps me
on task.
keeps me straight.
Yeah.
I said, even though I don't want to do it, I got it written there, I've got to do it. That's what keeps me in line.
How many of you are list people? Like, you like to make lists and then mark stuff off as you go? How many of you, you can just wing it and you don't need a list? All right.
Well, I found out by doing that, if I don't write it down, and then 2 or 3 days later, I go back and say, uh-oh, I didn't do this. I should have did this. Where if I had?
No, and yes, and we're all different. I mean, I'm a list person as well. I mean, I like to make lists, and I like to see the accomplishment of, all right, you know, today this is all the things I did, and you marked them all off, and you feel good about yourself that you got all this stuff done. You know, I have one daughter that is good with lists and doing that. I have another one that, you know, I think my wife bought her a planner like every year of college, and every year, you know, she'd like look at it, it was empty. Kind of like Matt, you know, she was like, I don't need one. I can figure it out. I know what I have to do. And it's like, okay, like, it's, you know, you're 20. If you want to do it that way, sure. And then, you know, she'd forget stuff. And, you know, my wife would remind her, if you'd written that in your planner, you would have remembered. You know, a little jab there every now and then. And I think she's kind of coming around. It's not Heather. So we'll throw Lauren under the bus. But, you know, Lauren's kind of coming around now, and she does a little bit of list now, I think, or is getting a little better with that. You know, because she was like, I don't want to carry around another planner, another this. And I'm like, you have a phone. Just stick it in your phone. Like, you know, I don't, you know, all my stuff's in my phone, too. So, you know, but it's this idea of figuring out what's best for you, you know, how best you can operate so that you can get the most done in a day, and have it be most profitable. And
to make a list, and then, like you said, things change because work related or other, and it's like, I do try to do both, but then
yeah.
Your boss will change things, and then it's like a jab, like you said, like a jab in the heart, or something like that. I didn't get everything accomplished, but...
Right, and you have to be flexible and adaptable. I mean, you know, you can have your list, and, you know, there are often many days where I have more things on my list, and, you know, things took longer, or John didn't do what he was supposed to do, so I had to do that. John works with me. You know, and so that took, you know, more time. And so, no, you don't get everything done. But, you know, okay, so you roll that into the next day, and you just keep, you know, you keep pressing on. Clint.
We're discussing this, you know, just, I mean, I think it's incredibly easy to just waste your life doing meaningless stuff.
Yeah.
And nowhere, at no point in human history is that more clear than the day, you know, the day in which we're living now. And there's, my mom used to, she was a homemaker, and there was one lady who was very independent. She was like 95, might have been 98. But sharp as a tack, like, lived on her own, completely, you know, independent. Died in her sleep, peacefully by all accounts. But I remember, like, on her door, she had a little sign that said, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for the rest will last.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way for us to frame, like, an order... our schedules,
yeah.
Is what is, you know, you talk about good, better, and best. What is the best use of my time? So.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and we think 98 is like forever, and yet in eternity, it's nothing. I mean, it's just a little dot in the grand scheme of things. And you know, those of us that are getting older, we realize how quickly time flies, and how much more imminent, you know, the passing, our passing could be or might be, you know. So, all those things. Great, Everett.
And I think, you know, since it's a spiritual battle, Satan laughs and he smiles when we distract ourselves,
yeah.
And when we waste our life, and when we don't push forward with our, you know, sanctification.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want us to discover the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to know Jesus. And he is quite happy if we're just complacent.
Yeah.
Playing video games or whatever it is, distract ourselves.
Yeah, I would agree. Satan, he doesn't want you necessarily to abolish the faith and, just turn and walk away. I mean, he'd be happy with that. But, he's just as happy, if you live a complacent life and, just don't really pursue Christ either. Because he's going to, he's winning either direction there. And the stronger or the more emphasis you are placing on Christ, the more attack you're going to get. And he's going to, or he and his demons are going to spend more time trying to hinder you and knock you down. But, that's why, we see Paul says, stand fast. Don't give in. Then we do that with the armor of God in our lives. Troy?
It's sad, too, that basically what Edward was saying in verse 19, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms are basically Lord's songs, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So it's a holy word.
Yeah, good. Alrighty, let's, yep, Matthew. Okay, alright. Yep. Okay, alrighty. Father, I pray that you would help us to redeem the time. Help us to spend our time, our lives wisely, as wisely as possible, and to be able to balance work and making a living to provide for ourselves and our families. And we know that you tell us in Scripture that that is very important, that we are to work hard, that we are to provide for ourselves and for those in our families, and to be generous. And yet we are also to be wise as we go through life, and we are to focus on you and to build for eternity. Help us to balance this and to live in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. In your name, amen.